sare di camini, vorte di cescali, jevure stavun, anangis tuta khush, im sare di camini. Sare di kami Inshvor bash shendum U korchum hervum Anangis tutakhur Im sare di kami Yes, galis em shat Herneri Վերակ դարձած քո հայրենիքից Որտանեմ ես ձեր կարոտնային լեռներին, լեռներին Որոնց դուք թողել եք գետի այն ափին, գետի այն ափին, գետի այն ափին լսիր, թե ինչ կասեմ Քիչան դարդվիր Եվ ինձ լսիր, թե ինչ կասեմ Որ տանես խոսկերն դու այն լերներին Լերներին, որոնց մենք թողել ենք Գետի այն ափին Գետի այն ափին Գետի այն ափին Քանի մեր վանքերում կնքում ենք մանուկներ Արևի պես ու կրակոտ աչուկներում Քանի մեր աչկերում դեր չի մարել կարոտը, կարոտը այն, որով նայում ենք մենք հեռվին, ուրեմն մենք, մի օր կգանք ձեր գիրկը դեր, մեզ սպասող լեռներ, 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 մեզ սպասող
Այրգուն սիրելներ, բարի եկածեք, այսօր Հոգդեմպեր 10-ը, անգամ եւս ես Սետո Ղարաբեդյանն եմ։ Այս գիշեր մեր հյուրն է, հարցազրույց մը ունենանք շատ սիրելի Բարետ Մարոնյանի հետ, ինչպես գիտեք, պրոդյուսերն է Orphans of the Genocide-ի դոկումենտարիին, որ վերջերս Volcan-ի մի դարի եկ աշխատի վրան եւ վերջերս բավական ցայն անաց է North America-ի մեջ, ինչպես նաեւ ամբողջ աշխարհի մեջ։ Ուրեմն պիտի խոսենք, ծանոթանանք իրեն եւ տեսնանք թե ինչու եւ ինչպես մեջտեղ եկավ այս դոկումենտերին։ Մնացեք մեր հետ, պիտի ընտրենք քանի մի երկեր, որ մենք պիտի անցնենք մեր հարցազրույցին։
Check seni dini hoki kuta jano jan tu izmana ayrumu o seni dini hoki kuta jano jan tu izmana
Լավ, սիրելիներ, ինչպես որ խոստացած էինք, մենք հարցազրույցը բիլիոնանանք այս գիշեր շատ սիրելի Բարեդ Մարոնյանին հետ, ուրեմն այժմ Բարեդը մեր հետն է քիչի վրա։ Բարիգուն Բարեդ։
Բարիգուն, բարիգուն։
Նախ կուզեմ նայս միրինգ յուսել, շատ ուրախ եմ, ինձ համար շատ մեծ արիթմն է ասի քեզի ծանոթանալու, խոսելու հետ եւ ինչու՞ չէ տեսնանք ինչով գսպաղիս տուն ընդհանրապես եւ ինչու այս դոկումենտերին մեջտեղ բերիր։
Thank you, thank you. Գուզես նախ անկերնով introduction մանենք, հետո հայրենալ գրնանք շարունակել։
Sure, անշուշտ, for those of you English speaking fans that are listening that have tuned in right now, my guest tonight is Bared Maronyan, as most of you know him, is the producer of The Orphans of the Genocide. We're going to talk to him tonight, then we're going to meet him. Before we go on, I would like to have a brief introduction of your biography, Bared, if possible, because I don't trust Wikipedia. Everybody could write a lot of stuff in it, so I'd rather hear from you.
Well, I was born in Lebanon, and as thousands of Armenians fled the country during the civil war, the unfortunate civil war, I was one of those, and I migrated to the States. That should have been late 80s, in fact, 1989, when I settled in the States. And then I worked for PBS for a while. By the way, in Lebanon, I'm a graduate of Haidazian University. When I got to the States, I, attended the film production, TV production school here in Palm Beach, Florida, and then started working with PBS, Public Broadcasting System in the States, in Miami. And the last, I would say, 5-6 years, I've been producing thematically Armenian documentaries. And the last one that I've been working on was Orphans of the Genocide. And we spent about 3 years on that project.
Okay, and obviously you're Armenian, and what prompted you to do The Orphans of the Genocide? Because we've heard, we've spoken, we've read, we've watched, we've seen a whole bunch of stuff on the genocide itself, but the orphans aspect of it, we haven't spoken about much.
Yes, the orphans aspect of the Armenian genocide is... so far it was an uncharted territory, specifically, as far as documentary film is concerned. There are a few Armenian books about Armenian genocide orphans, but there wasn't, especially in English, there wasn't any until we started working on this project about 4 years ago, 3.5 years ago. As far as the inspiration why I chose to do this documentary, honestly, I stumbled into it, and the reason was the main inspiration was an article written by the British award-winning the Armenian Genocide, which basically detailed a gentleman by the name of Isaac Kalishian's findings on an orphanage, about an orphanage in Lebanon. Isaac Kalishian being an independent researcher on his own time and his resources, he, you know, discovered that there was this building in Lebanon, specifically the village of Antura, that was once, you know, an orphanage, but not a regular classic friendly orphanage. Rather, it was a hostile orphanage, and it was meant to, you know, Turkify at least 1,000 Armenian orphans. So the story was about that. When I read that, I thought that's an amazing story that needs to be, you know, dealt with, you know, within a documentary. But I hadn't still found the exact angle until at an ANC event in Florida, a gentleman, an 89-year-old American-born Vanitsi, Eddie Abrahamian, got up and asked a question to the panel and said, you know, dear sirs, you are doing a great job. ANC does great work. The assembly does great work. But why don't we one day sit with the Turks and on a round table and ask them, we have documented orphans, genocide orphans. Why don't we ask the Turks what happened to their parents? I mean, if there was, you know, orphans, that means that the parents were perished. And how did they die? How did they disappear off the planet? So there must have been some sort of a mass killing that resulted in this big numbers of orphans. And the numbers were over 150 or 200,000. These are the documented ones, mind you. The undocumented ones, the perished ones, nobody knows how many hundreds of thousands of Armenian genocide orphans, you know, had disappeared during 1915, between 1915 and 1923. So that was basically the inspiration for it. And we spent over 3 years, and I'm glad to say that the documentary is done, finished. It has already aired on 3 PBS stations. And it even aired in your hometown, Montreal, about, I would say, 3 months ago. And it was a success. It was broadcast from Mountain Lake PBS from New York. And the host was one of your sons and, your fellow Armenian gentleman. His name is Viken Atarian. He was the host, and the phones were manned by AGBU scouts. So that was a pretty successful show, and we also had the premiere of the broadcast premiere in Fresno in April 18 of 2013, which was a historic success for the station again.
I mean, I had the privilege of watching it really fast this afternoon. I unfortunately, like I told you, I had not seen it when they were broadcasting it here in Montreal. But I must tell you, the information that's in it, it's incredible. How long did it take you to gather all that information? I understand you said it took you about 3 years, but there's a lot of information in the documentary.
Yes, what happened, Sitrak, is, towards the end of, you know, at one point we had to finish the project. We had to complete it because we had given ourselves about a year, year and a half, but we saw that things were, you know, being, dragged. And the reason for that was twofold. One of them was the overwhelming information that we were finding, and the other one was the financial difficulties that we were facing. This project is a not-for-profit project, and it was based on donations and grants. And you know, we couldn't have done this without the good-hearted donors of this to this project. You know, one of them being, for example, I can never forget Aleko Bezidian, Dr. Uzunyan, and the Chichian family, and a lot of people donated to this cause. And the other challenge was, this, the research was so in depth and overwhelming, like I said, that we couldn't even fit the whole story or all the stories of the genocide orphans within one film. We couldn't possibly fit that much information in an hour and a half or an hour documentary. So what we decided to do is publish a book, a book, a companion book, and we called the book Orphans of the Genocide, and we were able to compile some of those stories within the book that couldn't make it, you know, to the documentary. The broadcast version of the documentary is an hour and a half. The DVD version is an hour and 51 minutes. So what was broadcast in Montreal, for example, was the broadcast version, which was only the 90 minutes, but the DVD version is actually an hour and 1 hour and 51 minutes, almost 2 hours long. And at the end, Setzak, what we discovered is what we found to that point was only the tip of the iceberg as far as Armenian Genocide orphans' stories is concerned. So we felt that, but we had to stop there because we had to, you know, deliver the product as promised.
And how were you feeling as you were documenting all these orphanages and the stories? Because I have to tell you, I was crying this afternoon watching this. I couldn't hold it. I couldn't hold it back. I had no idea about some of the stories that you said during this documentary. I mean, I didn't even know that the Emperor of Ethiopia had adopted all these kids and moved them to Ethiopia. I had no idea. I found out today that there was a gentleman, an orphan named Kevork Nalbandian, who had written the Ethiopian anthem.
Yes, I mean, the stories are mostly sad stories. Some of them we can say, you know, success stories, like, for example, the story of Dr. Kevorkian, you know, whose mother was a genocide orphan, and she went through the trek, as he said in his book. You know, she walked the desert, the Berzor Desert, all the way to Aleppo, and then she survived, but her foot, for example, was, you know, forever disformed because of the desert heat. And, when we interviewed him, we tried to understand why, for example, he chose the career that he was. Why did he become a pathologist? Why did he become this artist who created these scary looking situations on his canvas? Or, you know, why did he decide to, you know, play? I mean, he was also a musician. So what we were trying to do is trying to kind of go back in his mind and find out how the genocide affected, for example, a gentleman like Dr. Kevorkian, who was a pioneer in the United States in his field. And that was, for example, a success story. And although it's a bittersweet story, it is a sad story. But again, you know, it shows how those orphans were determined, you know, to succeed. And after all, they were the beginnings of the Armenian people after the genocide, were destined to be annihilated forever. You know, as we all know, over a million and a half of them were, you know, either deported or dead thrown out of their homes.
Yeah, and it's interesting. You mentioned Jack Kevorkian, which I was going to talk to you about it, but there was a canvas that he had painted, and he had used his own blood.
Yes, that's the canvas that the painting, again, his paintings have these almost like Halloween look, you know, themes, you know, scary stuff. And the painting you're referring to, yes, he used his blood as red paint in that painting to show how he was connected to the theme that he was doing, and the theme was not only the genocide but also the Holocaust. And the painting depicted the sadness, the gore awareness of the genocide and the Holocaust. And again, he used his blood to show that. And there's another message in this, and we kind of try to convey this message throughout the, you know, the story, the documentary, which is the genocide or the issues of the Armenian genocide orphans is not only an Armenian issue. It's not for us only to, you know, remember them, to cry over them and say, oh, it was a sad thing, especially because our families were involved. My grandfather, for example, you know, was involved. You know, he was an orphan. My mother was the daughter of an orphan. So, I mean, it's so close to us. But yet, besides being an Armenian story, it has this universal feel to it. For example, when we interviewed Deborah Dvorak, Dr. Deborah Dvorak, who happens to be an expert in Holocaust issues, she said the feeling of the Holocaust orphan and the Armenian orphan are the same, we're the same. Genocides all over the world, London genocide, Sudanese genocide, the feeling is the same. So what it was is a universal story, in effect. It is true that it was an Armenian experience, but it was, you know, it kind of resonated, you know, the feelings of a genocide orphan and what they went through and how they survived.
Okay, we're going to take a short break. I'm going to play a song and then we're going to come back and continue with our talk. Stay tuned, folks. Okay, folks, for those of you joining us, we're speaking with the producer of Orphans of Genocide, Mr. Bared Maronyan. Bared, what was there a connection in for Canadian public, let's say? There was a lot of orphans that came to Canada, we know, and some of the documentary that I was watching today, it involved the Georgetown Boys. Can you talk about that?
Yes, the Georgetown Boys was an amazing story in the fact that although Georgetown Boys and Girls were only about 100 orphans, but the logistics of their integration to the Canadian society was very unique in the fact that when the Canadians decided to save Armenian children of the genocide, it was a big event because it involved the government, it involved the people, it was financed by the people, and also it was the first ever humanitarian task that the Canadians did. And that started a trend in the Canadian history. That's why it's very, very important. And the beauty about the Georgetown Boys and Girls was they had this camaraderie. You know, they stayed friends forever, and they were this big family and their extended families. And they played an important role in the Canadian society. Some served in the Canadian Air Force. Some were very successful businessmen. And, you know, they became model, exemplary citizens of Canada.
Yeah, which is interesting that you mentioned successful because, yes, there was a lot of sad stories in it, yet there were a lot of successful stories coming out of these orphans. At the same time, I was really, really surprised to see in the documentary that there were all these humanitarian, let's say, organizations or individuals that really came out and helped.
Yes, you know, on the forefront was the Americans. You know, the Americans had the lion's share in the humanitarian, work that they did as far as the Armenian orphans. We tell the story of the Gumri orphanages in the documentary, for example. Gumri is a city in Armenia. It used to be called Alexandropol during the genocide or right after the genocide. And in that city, there were orphanages ran by American missionaries, who were sponsored by the U.S. Congress, and they took care of over 22,000 orphans in one city. And the number of orphans were so huge that at one point the city of Alexandropol or Gumri was called or nicknamed Orphan City because, there were probably as many orphans in that city as much as the population was. And, those orphans were the lucky ones, for example, the ones that Americans saved. They were fed and clothed and they were given shelter, and also they were they were taught trades and arts and they prepared them to be model citizens and made them the goal was not only just to make them survive, just to feed them. It was their task was to make them, model citizens for their countries.
Now, going back to the screening of the documentary, it's been pretty much screened from coast to coast. And if I'm not mistaken, Bared, Mikani Yevrobagan deheral tsutsutsvazes as move the documentary.
Yes, we were in Iowa. We were in France in July. We did a screening in France, and it created a lot of interest there. We've done a few screenings in Canada, but not the finished product. As we were working on the project, we were also doing some fundraisers, and we were traveling city to city. For example, we've done a presentation in Toronto, organized by the local AYF, and we've done another one in Canada in Vancouver way back. But one of the recent screenings in Canada was in Hamilton at an ARS a meeting, the regional ARS meeting of Canada was in Hamilton about, I'm assuming, about 5 months ago, and I was invited there to screen the film and also to introduce my next project, which is called Women of 1915. Besides that, we've been through a lot of film festivals. Orphans of the Genocide was screened at the ARPA Film Festival only a week ago, and then I did another presentation in Orange County again a week ago, and I just got the news today, or yesterday in fact, the good news of the film being accepted in the official lineup of this great human rights film festival, which is called Unspoken Human Rights Film Festival, which will take place this weekend in Utica, New York.
Okay. First of all, I want to tell you that Montreal be deep cast. Okay, we're gonna try to set it up for Bessie. We showcase the documentary in Montreal because it is very important for everybody to see. Now I'm gonna ask you a tough question. What about Turkey? Do you think you'll ever get invited, or are the possibilities there that you can screen this in Turkey?
It's very possible, because as I said earlier, as I mentioned earlier, although the stories of Armenian roots, but it also involves whole humanity. As long as you're a human being, you should be interested in the story of an orphan, specifically the story of a genocide orphan. And in this case, it did have, it had to do with the Turkish, people, or the Ottoman government, who perpetrated this genocide. So, I'm sure the new generation of Turkey, as we see some sort of an openness, new books are being written about Armenian experiences in Turkey, and people are coming up, Turks are coming up and, saying that, they have Armenian roots, and they're writing books about them. And there is a very small, on a smaller scale, I would say there is this minute kind of tolerance, towards genocide in general, and Armenian genocide in Turkey. So I'm assuming all these things could lead for screenings of, a film like Orphans of the Genocide in Turkey, and I'm all open for that.
Okay. Before my next question, there's a message here for you from Der Miron. He wrote it on the Trick Track like page. Serdakin Vohchunderes Diyar Baret Maronyanin Honarapar Der Miron Kahana Sarkisyan Mississauga Ontario Nakhkin Kevor Hoviv Yetobio Hayots.
Der Miron was one of the first individuals, and I would like to salute him for helping us in gathering information about genocide orphans. For example, the story that you personally said, Jacques, like the Ethiopian orphans, we got a lot of information, if not most of the information, from Der Miron. And individuals like Der Miron are the ones that, kept us going. People who made this project their own, they adopted them. And they, out of the blue, they contacted me. They found me on a website or my email or my phone number, and they call me. They tell me, listen, there's this story or that story. So Der Miron is one of those perfect examples, contributed to this documentary. And we really, really thank him and the likes of him. Another example for example is the Pomegranate Film Festival in Toronto. 2.5 years ago, I got my first grant from them. You know, they liked my project. I applied, and you know, I was given the grant to do this. So Canada has a lot. Canadian Armenians did a lot to this project, and I'm very grateful and thankful to them. And by the way, there is another screening coming up in Toronto on November 10th at 5 o'clock. Organized by the Pomegranate Film Festival and I believe AYF, the local AYF in Toronto. So we will be showing the whole film there, and everybody, all your audience is invited.
I had a question here from a fan, from a listener that as soon as they had seen that I'm going to have you on the show. The question was, it was great. It was a great documentary, but he needs to invite all the Armenian school kids to educate them and show them his documentary. What's being done about that?
Well, let me tell you two things. Since you're in Montreal, I'm sure one of these days I will be in Montreal in person and screen this film, because there are people who are working on it diligently to bring this to Montreal. The other question that came from your listener, you know, if we're going to show it in schools, we have this plan of not only showing to Armenian schools or screening Armenian schools. The final phase of this project is to duplicate, as you know, probably, I'm just drawing a number here, 200, 300, 500 DVDs, and send them free of charge, of course, pending funding, if we find a sponsor to do this, send those DVDs free of charge to as many as school system libraries or museum libraries or college or university libraries to, you know, to have them. Because if you send some, you know, them, you know, for free, they will accept it and they'll make it a part of their library. And anybody who's interested in the Armenian genocide or genocide in general, you know, they can, you know, view this film, and maybe some students, Armenian or non-Armenian students, can make, you know, they may write their pieces about the topic.
Nice. My final question would be about it. If you could give us do's and don'ts for some of the young fans listening tonight, what could they do if they're, let's say they're going to follow your path, Kujampat Kuzendrazen, as a producer, as in TV, what are the do's and don'ts in today's society, in today's TV world, let's say, or documentary world?
You know, it is a very, very exciting career, I should say. I mean, picking the topic that I picked, the Armenian genocide, is a little... You know, whether we believe it or not, especially in the Western Hemisphere, is some sort of a taboo topic. But, you know, it's our responsibility as Armenians and as non-Armenians, you know, to, you know, spread awareness about the genocide. And I'm talking about all genocides. And I believe that documentaries or film, be they fiction film or, you know, documentary films like The Orphans of the Genocide, are an excellent tool of relaying the message of the genocide in a beautiful entertaining way. Basically, you tell the stories with, for example, beautiful Armenian authentic music. Although the topic is a sad one, but still, you let people know about the genocide and spread awareness about genocide. And of course, you know, that should, in many, many ways, help the recognition of the Armenian genocide. And again, of course, reparation of the, what all Armenians are, you know, after for. Now, just to give you an example, so far, Orphans After Genocide aired on only three TV stations, and it was available for viewership of about 12 million people. I think it's a good number, and we're working on we're in negotiations with other stations, and I'm sure pretty soon we'll have a few dates to broadcast this again and make it available to another probably 10 or 20 million people, and that's the bottom line actually. Now, as coming back to the youth, what they can do or should do is, I think, as human beings first and as Armenians, we owe ourselves, to dedicate a part of our life to, the humanity, to our history, the Armenian history, or the history of humankind, and just not accept, negative or bad things such as the genocide to be part of our future history. So I would like to invite them, the youth to this industry, and hopefully a part of it would be dedicated to the genocide or the Armenian genocide or any other humanitarian cause.
Nice.
I think that's about it.
Well, I want to thank you once again, and like I said, we're going to bring you up here, and hopefully I get to meet you in person, and I want to wish you the best of luck on the documentary, and hopefully you will get to screen it in Turkey, because I think we really need to educate them there. It's a history that they haven't learned. They're discovering it right now, but hopefully with your documentary and many other ones, that we could educate them, and finally we get to see what we want to see, is for them to accept the Armenian genocide.
Yes, and one thing I would like to, as a footnote, now that I remember when you mentioned showing it in Turkey, we have already translated it to a documentary to French. When we screened it in French, we had to translate it to French. And we screened it in French in France. Now we're in the process of exploring the possibilities of translating it in Turkey, although we don't have any prospects of, showing it in Turkey yet. But we are trying to find resources to, translate it into Turkish. So that's in the works. Other than that, it's... this Orphans After Genocide is done, and our next project, as I said, is the Women of 1915, which is about not only the plight of the Armenian women, that's a part of it, a big part of it is about all those non-Armenian women who came to the rescue of their Armenian sisters. And the list of these ladies and gentlemen is a long one. And, one of the persons that we're going to feature in the Women of 1915 is a lady by the name of Sarah Corning, who happens to be a Canadian. And she has some relatives now who reside in Montreal, by the way, close to Montreal, in outskirts of Montreal. So there's another angle for Canada in our next film. And, and as a final statement, I would like to thank all those people who financially and in every way that they supported this Orphans After Genocide documentary. And I invite, the rest of them or the same, donors to, help us produce this other important film about the women of 1915.
Let's hope they do. Let's hope they listen to you, and I'm sure they will, because they've seen the success of this documentary, and I don't see any reason why they wouldn't back you up on the next one. Well, Baret, Shad Shoragalem, Shad Urachem, Yev Husalov, Moda Deneng Desneng Kezi Montreal, Geportsenk, Vot Shad Baga Den Haravirel.
Chantem, Shad Shoragalem.
Hacho Huchun Kezi.
Namanabes, thank you.
Okay, folks, stay tuned. We're going to continue. I'm going to play a few songs and I'll be right back. Հուսամ այս շերվա հարցազրույցը բավական նյութեր միտքերնուտ մեջ առաջացուց և շատ հույսով եմ, որ կոնե Մոնտրեալի մեջ գրնանք ծուցադրել այս դոկումենտերին, ինչպես գիտեն շատերը, որոնք Կալիֆոռնիա Գաբրին կամ PBS-ով դիտած են, իսկապես աստեցիկ դոկումենտերի մնա և շատ բաներ գսորվիք, քիչ առաջ որ գսեի, it's very touching. You learn a lot. Yes, it's a sad story, but at the same time, it makes you feel proud for Hayenk yev gtimanank yev bidi dogank. Love. Yerke vor ung ndretsik Eli Berberianen er askin paraban. Uremen Elin kal shapatoro gnergana ashugagan yev askayin yerkherov lavali mech zedervelik hushartsani tramahavakin shapat kisher. Դոմսերը գրնակաբավել հերացայնելով 438-808-92-86 թիվին հերացայնելով, ինչպես նաև գիրագի օրը բաշտոնական ծերնարգը, որ դեղի բիտ ունենա, դարձյալ Facebook-ով ծեզի կդեղացնենք մանամասնությունները։ Իսկ հոգդեմպեր 26-ին, ինչպես այս շաբաթ հայտարարած էինք, Կարնիկ Սարգսյանի ծերնարգը, որ Burlington-ի մեջ դեղի բիտ ունենա, դոմսերը Բավական վաճառված է սիրելիներ, շատ տեղ չի մնաց։ Եթե անոնք որոնք կան թեր գպապակին, գրնան հերացայնել դոմսերը աբավելու համար 450-682-5231 թիվին։ Հոթելը մի մորնակ ռեզերվե երեք, որովհետև այս շապատ տղակը ստիպած է ինձ սենյակներ ավելցնելու։ Ուրեմն, հաջորդ քալի երկու երկերը Կարնիկ Սարգսյանեն, Ցայնդուրո Ֆեդա և Էլի Բերբերյանեն իր նոր CD-ն Շուշի երկը շրփարի բիդի մախտեմ հաջող շապատա վերջմը քալ շապատ դարձյալ գանթիվին քալ շապատ բիդի խոսինք լավալի մեջ զդեղվելի քուշարցանի մասին իսկ հաջորդ շապատը Մաթյու Քարանյան շրփարի
Ցայնդուր Ֆեդա ինչու ես դու
Hello.